come back to this. You have to love and you have to trust. Now, I don't say you trust your husband necessarily. You trust the Lord for your husband. You love your husband with the love that Christ gives you, and you trust the Lord for that man. But you single girls might be saying, well, what about us? Well, this is all for you to register in your heads for the time when God grants you your heart's desire. But don't spend your time wondering, where is that right man, to the exclusion of, am I being the right woman? Am I the right kind of a godly woman that a godly man will want? Well, I want to go back and put something in that I neglected to put in. You say, Bessie, you were talking about loving God in response to his great love, but I don't know how to do it. Does that ever cross your mind? How do I go about, can you just sit and sort of respond to God's love? I don't think so. I think that we need to be very aware of how other believers have expressed their love to God. If you do nothing more than take a hymn book and look up the section on love and start to read the hymns, you don't have to know the tune, you don't have to sing it. Read it like you would read poetry. You'll find that Faber is a friend of mine. He lived way long time ago, but he wrote this: the love of God is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. That just gives me the goose flesh, because I think the love of God is broader than this little brain can absorb. But then I get into thinking about his heart, and I find that his heart is most wonderfully kind. There's a hymn that I don't know that it's in this hymn book here, and it certainly isn't in the one at church. It was in InterVarsity Hymns. And maybe if you start to introduce yourself to some of these hymns of people who have tried to understand the love of God, you'll be blessed. This man wrote, I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. 'Tis everlasting peace, sure as Jehovah's name, 'tis stable as his steadfast throne, forevermore the same. The clouds may come and go, and storms may sweep my sky, this blood-sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. My love is oft times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows. I change. He changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. Does your heart respond to that? I gaze upon the blood, I see the mighty sacrifice, and I have peace with God. Lord, why did you love me so? And then I want to respond to him in love. I want to tell him some more that I love him. And the amazing thing is that that love that I respond to then floods my heart so that I can send it out to other people. You're going to meet a lot of Christians you have a hard time loving. I could even be one of them. It's a very difficult thing to find that some people can't stand you. You know? But I can empathize with them. Because there's some people you take to and some people you don't. But does that free us as Christians? No. And the solution, and again, this is from Corrie ten Boom, and I remember her teaching it so well. Just think, she's in the presence of the Lord that she loves. And enjoying it firsthand. But one GI told me, as he left our mission home after talking with Corey, he said, "You know, talking with Corey is like having a bath." I looked at him, but I understood what he meant, because you couldn't be in her presence without being happier for some reason. But she gave me this verse, and I knew the first verses, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, and I quoted this last conference, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That's in the line of our conference, isn't it? Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You say, "I can't love so-and-so." You're lying. And I'm lying if I say that. Because God can pour his love into my heart, through my heart, as a clean channel to someone else. And I told you last conference of one of my son's friends that just ticked me off. And I didn't like him. Every time he came, I bristled. I was supposed to be a Christian. And then his mother asked if we'd keep him for a week while they went to Florida, and I thought I'd die. Instead of that, he arrived, and I was taking some clean laundry into my son's room and found this boy on his knees praying. I felt about a quarter of an inch high. And I thought, I've never caught one of my children praying like that. Here's this boy that I don't like. I went back to my room, and I remember it so clearly. This was in Ann Arbor. I sat on the edge of my bed, and I said, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, please. I don't love him, and that's a sin. Would you please cleanse me and give me love for him?" Well, I'm not a real emotional being, but it was as though after the cleansing, that love flowed into me. And do you know, I have had nothing but warmth for that voice ever since. And I was exposed to enough to test it. Believe me, I know that this is true, that the love of God can be shed abroad in my heart and in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I meet married women who say, "I don't love my husband." This is the solution. But first, confess the unlove. Please. I could have sat in that bed till the end of time asking God to help me love that boy, and it wouldn't have happened. I had to get the channel clean first, get the unlove kicked out. And having that kicked out, then the Lord put his love in my heart. Now, I haven't had an outstanding experience with other people, but do you know, as soon as I find myself withdrawing from someone, I remember that incident. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love for one another. You absolutely have to love me. I have to love you. Now, that may be demonstrated differently, and you read 1 Corinthians 13, and you find that means that maybe you'll have to be patient periodically. And you might have to be kind when it's not easy. But if it's the love of God, it's going to come out as the love of God. You say, but shouldn't we be able to do it on our own? I don't think so. I think God makes us to operate within his realm of love, and he wants us to come to him as dependent children and say, "I need this, Lord. Will you give it to me?" You know, this conference could just be a great blessing if we help one another in this area. And if I can, now, last year I found that maybe I intimidated some of you, but please don't feel that you can't sit down with me and talk very naturally. I have grown children. And I'm interested, and I don't mean I want to counsel you or anything like that. I think that in the messages, if we put into practice what the Lord says, we don't have to have all this counseling business. But if there's anything that you'd like me to pray with you about, or if you'd like to say, I don't agree with what you said, and this is why, that's fine too. It'll enlarge my picture. But if you'd like to just say, well, you're older, and I'd like to pick your brains on this subject, I'll be glad to have my brains picked on any subject. These brains aren't what they used to be, believe me. Shall we pray? Father, we stand amazed at your love for us. We stand amazed that you could love us when we were in our sins. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself that he might redeem us from all iniquity. We pray, Father, that we will not try to understand everything, but that this weekend we'll be able to enjoy your love as we've never done before. Help us to trust you in your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen.